you to the Florida Building Commission's Accessibility Technical Advisory Committee meeting, which is our first of our 11 Technical Advisory Committees meeting to review and provide recommendations to the Florida Building Commission on proposed modifications to the 7th edition Florida Building Code 2020. The first order of business is to ensure that we have a quorum. Commissioner Gross.
Hey Jeff, I'm here. You're kind of squeaky. Is there something when you're making squeaky? A lot of
I'm sitting close to the phone. I'm not sure what that would be from, but I do.
Interference from another line.
Hey, you're like cutting in and getting like a little louder, a little softer. Is everybody else experiencing that?
Yes.
Okay, so it must be our phone here. We'll see if we can make any adjustments to that. So you're not able to hear me clearly. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to try to swap out the line to the phone, the connection, and see if that helps us. Just give us a second. So what we're going to do, can they all just stay on?
Yeah, they can stay on.
So everybody stay on. We're going to actually hang up here and redial, but you'll be connected. You'll stay connected. So just give us a moment to do that and see if that clears up the line.
All right. There you go. I should have metered it, but
actually, I did by mistake when I picked it up, so it worked out perfectly. Is it really 3 years later?
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't seem like it's been that long.
No, it doesn't. Seems like we've been doing code all along. Kind of have, as of any process.
277.
It's a special occupancy only, a face-to-face, no call-in.
All right, can you hear us now?
That's good.
Is that any better?
We're thinking it might be somebody else. This is Jeff Gross. We're thinking that it might be somebody else's phone because when you were off, we still heard you.
All right. Okay, so we'll meet the other lines. That's what we'll have to do. We'll do something.
Okay, so we'll do what we can here to mute lines. So what I'd like to suggest before I continue is that unless you're a TAC member, remember to try to keep your phones on mute. It cuts down on background noise. Remember that anything that you do in the background, especially on a speakerphone, will be projected. Taking cell phone calls is not helpful. Shuffling paper. So we're finding a problem with one of the lines now. It's Diana, so we may have to mute you temporarily. All right, so I'm going to do a roll call. Commissioner Gross.
I'm here.
Are you able to hear me okay now?
There's a little bit of squeaking, but it seems like less.
All right, well, we had to mute one of the lines. Jack Humberg. Sharon McNardy.
Here.
Barbara Page.
I'm here.
Commissioner Schiffer. Brad?
Yeah, this is Brad. I got cut off. I'm back on.
Very good. Commissioner Schilling.
Yes, I'm here.
Larry Schneider. Larry, are you on?
Yes, I'm on.
Okay. Diana Worrell.
Yes, I'm here.
Very good. Jim Woollyhand.
Here.
All right, we have 8 of 9 constituting a quorum. Let me check once more if Jack Humberg is on the line. Jack, are you on? Okay, so I sort of reviewed our teleconference process. It's essentially, please wait to be called on. I'll stack names where everybody will get a chance to speak. I'll go over the process in a minute, describing how we're going to do this and the timelines, and then we'll go from there. So what I want to do is have everybody here in Tallahassee introduce themselves.
Jim Hammers.
Chip Sellers.
Chris Howell.
Justin Vogel.
Tom Campbell.
Marlena Peters.
Mo Magani.
Jeff Blair.
Mark Drexler.
Stephen Von Bodegan.
Okay. We have, just for the record, we have 2 members of the public participating, and welcome. Okay, let us then proceed with the meeting. The purpose of this meeting is to approve the minutes from the July 26th meeting, and then to provide the commission with recommendations regarding proposed modifications to the 7th edition 2020 building code as pertains to accessibility, and then we'll adjourn and proceed from there. So. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as it was posted?
Yep, Schilling.
Second, Worrell.
We have a motion and a second from Schilling and Worrell, respectively. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous on an 8-0 in favor vote. Okay, so now we come to the heart of the meeting, which is to provide, to go over the process and then to review the mods. We've reviewed this process already, but I will give it a summary and an overview. It was approved by the commission at the February 19, 2019 meeting unanimously. In essence, the public comment process works as thusly. I will introduce each mod by number. Oh, sorry, I thought I did that. Yeah, thanks. Before I do, I did neglect to approve them. I wrote it in the wrong category. We have to approve the minutes from the Thursday, July 26, 2018 meeting. Is there any comments or revisions to that? If not, is there a motion to accept the minutes from the July 26 meeting?
So moved, Schilling.
Is there a second?
Schiffer will second.
Schilling and Schiffer.
Schiffer.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, then we will proceed. In essence, I'll introduce each mod by number. I'll ask if the proponent wishes to provide any additional information. Anybody else wish to speak in favor? Anybody wish to speak in opposition? If there's pros and cons, we'll offer one collective. That means only one opportunity for a single rebuttal and one from each side, pro and con. We'll have a 3-minute time limit on the public comment portion of it. We'll come back to the TAC. There'll be a standing motion on the table, which I'll explain momentarily. We'll proceed to that. The main thing is to keep your comments brief and concise, and if you agree with others, say so. Again, I'll introduce each mod, and we'll proceed through in turn on the ones before us. A proponent may withdraw a modification at any time. In a moment, I'm going to read a standing motion, which you will vote to approve, and so there'll always be a motion to approve on the table, since the commission does not take motions to deny. And then we'll discuss and vote. If there isn't a second on the motion, then the motion will die for a lack of second, and it will be no affirmative recommendation. So you have no obligation to make a second if you're not supporting the proposed code modification. But if you do, you should make the second, and then we'll take the vote once we discuss it. But if there's no second, we just proceed to the next one, and that will be treated as a no affirmative recommendation, dying for a lack of a second. Tax are, you know, requested not to really make too many modifications to the amendments to it, and really it's best not to at all, but to provide constructive comments to the proponents so that they can then bring the revisions that they believe based on your comments would address their concerns to the second round, where the tax will make comments on the public comments received. So the commission will receive the tax original recommendation plus their comments and they'll indicate whether those comments address their concerns, and the commission will understand then that in essence is that you're changing your mind on that by saying, hey, this revision does address our concern and we would support it. So that, you know, we'll go over that when we get further down the road, but just understand that the proponents have an opportunity to make revisions and At our second go-around in July, we will discuss those with our tax. If an amendment is made, the person proposing the amendment is deemed to be the proponent of the modification away from the original, and then the proponent now who has made the modification should be prepared to provide documentation as to what their amendment is in hard copy and electronic copies, and then they should be able to address the rationale or the requirements of statute as the original proponent did, or stand on those if that's relevant. Okay. This is our first time where the two-thirds requirement is in place. We no longer have a 75% approval requirement for TAC modifications. It's a two-thirds or 67%. The commission still has a 75%, so your recommendations will go to them. Any that achieve 67% or more a favorable threshold will be deemed recommended for approval. All right, so I'm going to read the standing motion, and then I would like someone to move it, second it, and then vote, and then we'll start. So we move to recommend approval of the proposed modifications by the Technical Advisory Committee based on the following findings pursuant to Section 55373.9A and 9B of Florida statute. The modification is needed in order to accommodate the specific needs of this state, and the modification has a reasonable, substantial connection to the health, safety, and welfare of the general public, and the modification strengthens or improves the Florida Building Code, or in the case of innovation or new technology, will provide equivalent or better products or methods or systems of construction, and the modification does not discriminate against materials, products, methods, or systems of construction of demonstrated capabilities, and the modification does not degrade the effectiveness of the Florida Building Code, and the modification has the following fiscal impact. The fiscal impact of enforcement imposed upon local government is as indicated by the proponent. The fiscal impact of compliance imposed upon building and property owners is as indicated by the proponent. The fiscal impact of compliance imposed upon industry is as indicated by the proponent. And the fiscal impact of compliance imposed upon small business is as indicated by the proponent. There could be either no impact or some specific impact that the proponent would identify. G, the modification's benefits noted with regard to fiscal impact and efficacy outweigh the costs imposed. And H, the modification does not diminish requirements related to wind resistance or prevention of water intrusion contained in the code or its reference standards and criteria. Is there a motion to approve the standing motion to approve?
Schiffer will.
Yeah, Schilling second.
Schiffer and Schilling respectively, motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous.
Aye.
Okay, good. We're prepared to start. So we'll go to our tracking chart, and we're going to start with 7637. But before we do, Mo is going to provide us some orientation.
Yeah, this is Mo Medani. Good morning, and thank you for being with us this morning. As we have done throughout the years, in terms of addressing or reviewing proposed code changes to the update to the Florida Building Code, we normally publish two things, the tracking charts that has in it a listing of the proposed code changes in summary and so on, and with the proponent name, and then also we publish the detailed reports. So if you click on, assuming you guys clicked on the agenda link, which is under item number D, if I click on it, that will take you to a matrix. This matrix has in it, as you see, everything that we'll be doing under this code change process for all the tags. So this tag is the accessibility tag. You have your agenda there, detail report, tracking chart. The tracking chart we are not going to use at this meeting. The tracking chart is mainly for recording information. You can use it at your end. The staff here will use it to mainly record the committee action. This is the tracking chart, so it's available for you to use, to take notes and so on. Now, what we will be using at this meeting is the detail reports. The detail reports is the report that has in it everything that's submitted, for a specific mod. For this committee, as you see, there is a total mod of five, and it starts with A7637. It has in it the information about who submitted the code change, and also it has in it whether we have received general comments during the first 45-day comment period on it, or whether it has an alternate language. So as you scroll down, first you will see in the beginning of the code mod is the history of the mod and answering the certain questions that asked for on, by the online mod application. Then you will see after that the text of mod, the specific text that's being proposed, and so on. Some mods will have like general comments. You will see it also first, and then if there is alternate language, you will see the alternate language. But this is what really we'll be using at this meetings, and if you have any questions, go ahead. Any questions on the detail reports or the tracking charts? If not, Jeff, just go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. All right, so we're going to start with modification 7637 submitted by Skip Gregory. There were no written comments submitted during the time frame, and just for the note, this is a the special occupancy tax. We'll also be hearing this, and they're the primary tax. Does the proponent wish to offer any comment at this time? Skip? It's not a comment. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak from the public on this proposed modification, either for or against?
When does the TAC talk about it?
Well, as soon as I get done with public comment, we'll come back to the TAC.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Could you? It would help us. Actually, I should have mentioned this, so I'll take responsibility. But if everybody would say their name when they speak, we'll be able to know who's speaking. So who just spoke, please?
Larry Schneider.
Very good, Larry. Thank you. Okay. There's no public comment. I'm going to go to the TAC for a second, if there is one.
Yeah, Larry Schneider would like to speak on this issue.
Okay, so let me just let me review just quickly. So the way it works is this. If people wish to support it, we would get a second and then discuss it. If there's no second, it dies and there's no reason to discuss it. We have a standing motion to approve. If somebody offers a second, then we'll have discussion about it. If there's no second, that means nobody supports it, and we'll just move on. So I'll go back. Is there a second on the amendment? All right, the motion dies for lack of second. If you'd like to make a comment, Larry, at this time, just as a, you know, on why you didn't support it, feel free.
Yes, please. Thank you very much, Chair. Under the rationale, if you look at the rationale, it clearly identifies assisted living facilities as a residential facility. With that in mind, if as a residential facility, the Florida Accessibility Code does not apply to this project, but the Fair Housing Act does, I would be willing to support the modification to the code if the proponent modified his added text by deleting as described section 233 of the Florida Building Code accessibility. In other words, if the language just stated accessible assisted living facilities shall meet the accessibility requirements for residential facilities and just stop there, therefore it does fall residential, therefore it's a Fair Housing Act out of Florida accessibility code issue. Because section 233 residential facilities pursuant to the guidelines of the ADA standards, which is the document that we adopted as our base accessibility code, says 233 really deals with homeless shelters, group homes, and similar social service establishments. It was not meant for residential facilities. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. That's helpful to the proponent.
Hey,
do you want to comment?
Larry, this is Momadani. I think the main issue here is that this has to do with the accessibility code. And you know, under this triennial code change process, we have no authority to revise the accessibility code. If this seems an interpretation issue, a clarification issue that could be handled under declaratory statements, but strictly revising the accessibility code is through another section of the code. That is not, you know, it's fall outside the scope of this code change process. this is really because it has been an issue whether assisted living facility falls under section 223 or 233. Well, that's something could be had as a declaratory statement than revising the code.
All right, thanks, Mo.
Thank you.
Just back again, and I would agree because we have been one of the people who have been challenged with this issue and have worked on trying to get the building officials to understand this part of the requirements for assisted living.
All right, thank you all.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to move on to 7363. There is public comment on this. The proponent is Brian Holland, and the Special Occupancy TAC will also be reviewing this, and they're the primary TAC on this. Mr. Holland, are you on the phone, sir? Brian? Okay. Is there anybody else from the public who wishes to speak on 7363 on the phone?
Joe Belcher?
Yes, Mr. Belcher.
I'm Joe Belcher for the Florida Homebuilders Association.
And
go
ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say what I realized you were about to say, whether you support it or not. That would be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
I knew that.
In opposition for the Florida Homebuilders Association.
Okay.
We don't want to appear insensitive to the needs of people with hearing or speech impairments. However, Mr. Holland or the proponent states that there's no cost to this modification. The National Association of Home Builders does a study with every new code. They hire a home innovation research lab to do that study. They came up with a cost of $2,500 to $5,000 per elevator. And in doing that study, they found that it's very unlikely that you'll be able to modify the existing required foam, two-way foam, inside the elevator. That's point one. Point two, we've got a lot of systems here, visual, text-based, 24/7, interactive, fully accessible, 24/7. But there are no standards referenced for the design of any of these systems that this code change would be required. Third point is this applies to all elevators in all buildings, whether they're accessible to the public like a service elevator or a freight elevator or not, or if it's an elevator that serves only a single private dwelling, which we're seeing some of in high-rise type residential structures. The fourth point is it applies to not only new elevators but existing elevators due to its location in the code, where they put it in 31.3001.2 to create a new section. So that makes it applicable if you do an alteration to an elevator. And then finally, it creates a conflict with Chapter 339.035 Florida statute. And this is actually a changing statute, and you really can't do that with a code change. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Joe. Anybody else in the public wish to comment? All right. Does anybody?
Kevin Sullivan. I'm with the Elevator Industry Work Preservation Fund. I just, where are the public comments? I'm looking at the, I clicked on the link on the agenda, but I don't see public comments.
There's one comment on. It's in the detail report from Michelle Comingor, which is, right underneath, it's on the second page of that. It's on page five of four of the chart. They're posted, and there was only one comment received. It was deemed to be a general comment. Actually, there's another one, too, isn't there?
Maybe he's not really in opening the right form.
So are you in the detail report, the one that's the PDF, big PDF file? There's also...
No, I'm on the chart.
There's also one from Andy Sid.
You need to go do the DD, click on the
detail report. So the chart is just for our purposes of tracking the action taken. The detail report gives you the proponent, whether there's comment, the text of the proposed amendment, as well as any public comments that were submitted, which are sequentially organized.
Okay. I'm here. Yep, right. I'm there now.
All right. Did you have a comment?
And so...
I don't have.
Okay, very good. Anybody else in the public wish to comment?
Hi, this is Robert Fine.
All right, Robert, 3 minutes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, very quickly. Accessibility by statute can only be added to the code by way of the legislature. And so whether or not the merits of this are there, and I'm not speaking to that, this is an inappropriate way for it to get in the accessibility code. You know, it's not part of the ADA guidelines. And so without the legislature saying, put it in, I think at the end it doesn't get to go in. And so if the proponent would like it, he should propose to the legislature. I'm not speaking to the merits, just that the commission has been very strict to the instruction of the legislation regarding accessibility, and this is not the time for it.
Okay, thank you, Robert. Anybody else in the public on the phone wish to speak? All right, then I'm going to go to, is there anybody here in the room who wishes to speak?
This is Stephen Von Bodigan with the Division of Hotels and Restaurants, Bureau of Elevator Safety.
Okay.
We'll
get him a little closer. So here, I'll
start. Here we go. Let me repeat again. Is this okay? My name is Stephen.
Yeah.
My name is Stephen Von Bodigan. I'm the Deputy Director with the Division of Hotels and Restaurants. And I'm speaking on behalf of Michelle's Common Core's comment, as it's associated with a conflict in statute 399.035. And I'm just here to reiterate that it is in conflict with 399.035 should this get put into the Florida Building Code. So based on that alone, it could be very well unenforceable by the division on the compliance-related basis.
That's it. Any additional public comment? All right, I'm going to come to the tax. So remember, if you don't support it, there's no need to offer a second. We have a motion. Is there a second? Hearing none, no affirmative recommendation dies for a lack of a second. Okay, let us proceed on to the next, which is 7447. Submitted by Richard Scollin. This is, there were no public comments submitted, and the code administration TAC will be the primary TAC on reviewing this as well. Is Richard on the line? Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak on this proposed modification?
Can I say something about these two?
Sure.
Yeah, this is Mohammed Dani. I just want to let you know that mod number 7447 and 7451, they're mainly identical. And the only thing really is these two mods are doing is mainly giving a pointers within the code for existing building to a specific sections that deal with accessibility within the code for existing building. So they're mainly pointers and references, but it seems looking at both this mod 7447 and 7451, they're more they're somewhat identical, and also even 8375, which comes after that, it has the same thing. It's referenced the same section, except is that 8375 reference additional sections that they don't exist. So I think really, if you can look at them, the three of them, suggestion is that you can go with either 7447 or 7451 if you decided to second or what have you. But it seems that these are kind of, I would call them just providing a reference sections within the existing building code. Thank you.
All right. Okay, so I think what Mo's suggesting is if you're going to approve one, approve either 7447 or 7451, but only one and not any of the rest of them. Okay, so we'll start with 7447. I asked if there was any public comment. We didn't hear any. I'm going to go back to the TAC. Is there a second?
Second by Larry Snyder.
Okay. Discussion.
Yeah, this is Larry Schneider. I want to piggyback on what Mo has said. After evaluating the reference sections that he added, all the person did was add the sections of 410, 705, 806, 906, 1105, 1201.4. Basically, they just say, see the Florida Accessibility Code for accessibility compliance requirements. So they're just putting those sections in there to say, hey, look at the accessibility code for what you need to do. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Further discussion on 7447. We have a motion and a second.
Yes, this is Sharon McNardy.
Okay, Sharon, go ahead.
I don't have a problem with pointing to the accessibility code. However, this isn't a prescriptive section of the existing building code, and I would like to see it more that it just says accessibility shall be provided in accordance with Florida Building Code, comma, accessibility, as opposed to pointing it to prescriptive sections when the design professional is trying to do a performance-based design. So that's the only comment I would have.
Okay. Is there additional comment? All right, so just to remind folks, since it's, you know, it's been a couple of years, so if you can vote against it with a comment saying if you make this change, it can be changed later, if it's important enough, or if you feel like it's okay as it is, then you would vote in favor of it. So I just wanted to make that clear that you provided a comment to the proponent, which they could then provide a revision if that was you know, if it didn't pass. So that's just for information purposes only. All right, unless there's further discussion, all in favor?
Yes, discussion.
Oh, sure. Go ahead, Larry.
Sorry, it's Larry Schneider. Sharon, I'm gathering what you said is based upon the language, delete section 410 and everything else, and just say accessibility shall be provided in accordance with the Florida Accessibility Code for Building Construction and just leave it at that?
That's correct, Larry, because what it's doing is it's pointing to prescriptive code sections that they're not doing. They're wanting to do a performance-based design, so I think it should be a standalone, just point to the Florida Accessibility Code.
And Larry Schneider, thank you. And how would we be able to do that to the chair if we wanted to do it that way?
This, if it's okay with everybody, I think since we are going through the first comment period with the 45-day comment period, and we have another one which coming, I think if you feel like this need to be amended or looked at again, the proponents will have the opportunity to do that under the second 45 days. You can, if you feel like it need to be adjusted and worked on, you can mainly vote it as no affirmative recommendation with some, you know, with some comments. We'd like to see this or what have you. That way the proponents would fix it under the second 45-day comment period. But we are not really wordsmithing or amending code changes at this point. If that's really okay, that's really what we have done before, that's gonna, you know, lessen the stress and the work that need to be done by staff at this point to be able to capture all these amendments and all that. So.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, if you're in favor, say aye. All opposed, say aye.
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 All right, so the vote is 08 NAR, but there is a comment to the proponent saying if you make this change, we would review that favorably. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's the same.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And very good. So I don't want to put any words in anybody's mouth. Is it then, Mo, who would notify the proponent that there's a comment?
We will have the comments on the tracking chart, and if he,
so the proponent can look and see.
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay,
sir.
So based on the previous discussions, it sounds like the next two we can go through rather quickly. All right, 7451, is there, again, code amendment is the primary. Any public comment? Going back to the TAC, is there a second? No affirmative recommendation, no second. And then we go to the next one, which is 8375, submitted by Kimberly Gilliam. Code amendment is the primary TAC. Is there a second to that? Seeing none, and there was a public comment submitted to this one. Then it's no affirmative recommendation, no second. All right. Okay, so we've concluded this component of it. Is there any other comment from anybody? If not, I'll conduct the second roll call to determine that we still have a quorum.
I'd like to bring up something.
Okay.
This is Diana Worrell. I'd like to ask you a question.
Go ahead, Diana.
Yeah. Thank you. I am trying to piggyback this a little bit on what Robert Fine said and the need to go to statute to, you know, more or less to get some Florida-specific changes made. And I'm wondering exactly what the role of the building commission is in doing that, because it seems as though people would go off on their own. They would get their own legislatures to make this happen one way or the other, and all of this without any sort of comment or feedback from the building commission. And is that the way the building commission wants this to happen? Or is there a feedback path from the commission related to these sorts of things?
This is
Tom. And Cantum. Or any help?
This is Tom Cantum Campbell. We would say that we would want individuals to go and take any change that they would like to see the legislature make, and to advocate for those there at the legislature. Anytime a bill is run, they are analyzed by the staff at the legislature, and also in-house here, where we provide them and with information and any answers to questions that they may have about the proposed bill or the change to the statute. So there is a feedback loop that is in place for analysis of the bills.
Excuse me. Yes. Is there anything proactive on the part of the building commission where there would be assistance in helping to get the bill through, to identify individuals from the Senate and the House that would be willing to take up the bill?
It's been the commission's and the department and the department's stance for years that we do not take any proactive lobbying stance on bills. We are here to provide information and context for any change that is proposed, and we let that legislative process play itself out.
Okay. It would just seem that since it was the prerogative of the building commission to deal with all these codes in the long run, that it might be to our benefit to be more proactive in it, but maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead. Who's this?
This is Robert Fine.
Go ahead, Robert.
Following up on Dr. Worrell's comment, you know, the entirety of the building code, when it's worked on, is really, with really, I think, two exceptions, the purview of the building commission. They take the IBC, they have certain parameters, but work it as they see fit. Things get incorporated without the legislature getting involved, unless they make some policy decision that steers a little bit the commission on a particular item. Accessibility is not the same thing. Accessibility, the commission can't make a change. It's hands off, but for, and maybe it's something that the commission and the DPR in this one area should look at it maybe, you know, a little differently, because we don't get to say, oh, IBC made this change. It looks good. It would be good for Florida to put it in. It doesn't happen the way the entire rest of the building code happens. And so I think along the lines of what Diane was bringing up, I do think it's something worth thinking about, of the fundamental difference in how accessibility is handled under the law as virtually everything else in the code, except maybe elevator.
We've done work groups before. I'm not going to say it. I'm just saying it. Okay. I think, Chip, you had something to say.
Just real quick, this is Chip Sellers. We had changed our next meeting from April 2nd to Friday, March 29th at 10 a.m. And I just wanted to touch base while I have you on the phone with Sharon McNarty and Brad Schiffer and Diana Worrell, if y'all would be able to call in for that meeting.
Sure. As Schiffer, I'll be able to.
Okay.
Good, good.
And Diana said yes. Who was the third person?
Sharon.
Yes, I did.
What was the date again?
29th.
At 10 a.m.
And what time?
10 a.m. on the 29th.
Yeah, I should be able to.
Okay. All right, let's go ahead and conduct our second roll call. Commissioner Gross? Jeff?
I'm still here.
Very good. I assume Jack Humberg's still not on. Sharon McNarty?
Still here.
Barbara Page?
Yep, here.
All right. Commissioner Schiffer?
Still on.
Schilling?
Yes, I'm here.
Schneider?
Still here.
Commissioner Worrell?
I'm here.
And Jim Woollyhand? All right, we have the same eight we started with. Commissioner Grosser, would you adjourn our meeting?
For the record, this is Jack Humberg. I've been on the call too, but I was not here on the first 5 minutes or so.
All right, so did you vote on each of the particular modifications then? Or not vote as the case may be?
I did not.
Okay, so did you miss that part of the meeting then when we went over the mods?
No, I did hear. I guess I voted with the majority.
Right, which in each instance was a no affirmative recommendation, so that's fine.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. All right, very good. So you did actually, in essence, vote with them by not voting. I got you.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem.
I did hear.
Thanks, Jack, for clarifying. No problem. Commissioner Grossen, would you go ahead and adjourn us?
Okay, I move to adjourn.
All right.
Thank you, everybody.
Appreciate y'all's work.